whatever they need effortlessly. In this place, there is not even the sound of poverty or fighting, no danger from fire, water, wind, or earth. The environment is completely pure, clean, and very beautiful, and there are many objects of enjoyment, such as precious mountains, bushfruiting trees, beautiful lakes, and pools. In the trees, many delightful birds, which are emanations of Maitreya, make sounds that reveal the meaning of Dharma. There are also many beautiful gardens filled with exquisite jewels, heavenly flowers, and precious bathing pools, which fortunate young gods and goddesses play. The whole ground is made of jewels and completely pure and smooth. Just touching it gives rise to bliss. In the center of this pure land is the Yigachusan Palace. Yigachusan is a great happy palace where Buddha Maitreya lives with retinue of thousands of bodhisattvas. Should think like that. Maitreya Heaven. From this beautiful heaven, the center of Yigachusan Palace, is the great Maitreya Buddha waiting to come down to the earth to turn the wheel of Dharma, golden in color, flanked by many bodhisattvas. From his heart, a white, fresh curd like cloud comes forth in front of us to assure this. On top of that sits golden lights, beautiful golden lights, like a flat piece of gold, and the sun shines upon that, and the brilliance of that golden color is the color of Jiraji. Jiraji's golden hat is closed. His body is white and slightly tinged, and it has a lot of meaning, lots and lots of meaning in his body. I will go through it shortly with you, but it's incredibly deep. Their bodies are made of wisdom light and are white with a reddish tint. They wear the three robes of an ordained person, signifying that they have completed the perfection of discipline, and yellow long-eared hats, signifying they have completed the perfection of wisdom. They are sitting on a jeweled throne, which is supported by eight lions, symbolizing their four fearlessnesses and the four protection that they can protect sentient beings from the four different types of terrors. The lotus, the moon, and sun cushions signify the completely purity of the body and the mind, their conventional bodhicitta and their ultimate bodhicitta respectfully. Their sitting in the vajra posture indicates that they have achieved the union of no more learning. Jetsongaba's two hands at the level of his heart and the gesture of turning the wheel of Dharma indicates that he can dispel the ignorance of sentient beings by giving teachings. He holds a stem of upala flower, which supports his wisdom sword and scripture of the perfection of the sutra of 8,000 lines. These signify that he principally teaches the profound Madhyamika Prasangika view, or the perfection of wisdom. He focuses on wisdom to become enlightened. And he has great wisdom, symbolized by the sword, motivated by great love and compassion, symbolized by the two flowers that support the sword in the Dharma text. The right hands of the two sons are at the level of their hearts and the gesture of expounding Dharma, and their left hands are in the gesture of meditative equipoise, holding scriptures, signifying that Dzongkhapa's doctrine was spread out through the world. So the two disciples sit like this. Here, they're holding a Dharma. Here, you know, this one. Yeah. Here, they're holding a Dharma text, like this. And here, they're teaching the Dharma. This is a signifying or a prophecy that in the future, from their time, that Jiraji's teachings will spread out through the Dharma, because the time has come now that Jiraji's karma and his prayers is fruitioning, that many people will be attracted to his teachings, to his form, to what he represents, and start practicing him. So these two disciples are holding their hands in this way as a prediction in symbology form, symbolic form, which means the teachings will spread into the 10 directions before Buddha's teachings disappear from earth. Buddha's teachings will remain 5,000 years on this planet. 2,500 years is finished. So there's 2,500 years left. Now, Jiraji's teachings will spread all over the world. Therefore, people will have strong affinity, strong liking, strong love, and strong respect for Jiraji because of their karma and their need for wisdom, because ignorance is very, very deep. And so that's the significance of the two disciples and their hand postures. And then, Jiraji himself. So if you want to get even more complicated, for auspicious reasons, I'll read it. At Jiraji's crown chakra, here, on a lotus and a moon, sits Manjushri. Then, one body and two arms. Then at his throat chakra, here on his throat, on a cushion of lotus and moon, is forearm Kuan Yin Osa, Avalokiteshvara. And then at his heart, on a sun, on a lotus and a sun, not a moon. The two deities who are peaceful are moons. Vajrapani is on a sun, blue in color, one face is at the heart. So if we want to do Jiraji's meditation complete, we visualize Manjushri here, on him, or here. Either way, All right? Maybe for you, there's a hat here, more complicated. Here, or here. Here better. And then Avalokiteshvara is here, and Vajrapani is at his heart. How powerful. And where is he coming from? Maitreya's heart. Think about that. Maitreya, Vajrapani, Vansuposa, and Kuan Yin. Four. Think about what you're visualizing and what you're meditating at this time. How profound. And all of us, most of us, know the significance of these four great bodhisattvas that are all over China and Mongolia and Tibet. So you're visualizing that incredible. They are all complete with their hand gestures and features. So JRMG is sitting in the form of astounding the Dharma, which means the highest art or the highest form or the best giving is giving Dharma teachings. Then he's holding a stem of a Upala lotus that opens here, and there's a sword representing his great wisdom. Then from the other side is a lotus that opens up on the left that holds a Dharma text that talks about wisdom, perfection of wisdom, 8,000 lines spoken by the Buddha. So he teaches all the Dharmas, but he focuses on wisdom, which is the most important quality you need to become a Buddha, from beginning, middle, to end. So he's holding those implements, that's what it represents. He has wisdom, and he has the skillful means to cut your sufferings, and he's, how does he teach you the Dharma, represented by the Dharma text, and how does he cut your sufferings, represented by the sword? What motive? Compassion, as represented by the lotus. So his motive is great bodhicitta and great compassion as symbolized by the lotus. Lotus in Buddhism represents compassion. So he's holding compassion, motivated by compassion, which he holds to his heart. So the stem of the lotus is coming from his heart area, between his hands. That represents his motive is compassion arising from his own heart, from his mind. From that, he teaches you the Dharma. And he, by the Dharma teaching, like a sword, he cuts through your suffering. How profound. And the sword, the tip is slightly on fire, representing if he needs to use wrathful means to destroy your obstacles, demons, and problems, he can manifest in wrathful forms like Yamataka to destroy it. Incredible. Just the two lotus and the sword in the text has that kind of deep, profound, incredible meaning. Incredible and deep. And his body is slightly white, tinged with red, representing he has achieved tantra. White represents the father's sperm. Red represents the mother's seed, egg, which we were created from. So like that creation, form comes forth. Like that creation in tantra, enlightenment is coming forth. So what he's saying when he's slightly white with a little bit of red, he has achieved complete union of male and female energies by tantra. White represents compassion, red represents wisdom. Red wisdom is female energy, white compassion is male energy. So he has completed both male and female energy. He has compassion and great wisdom. Another meaning. So he is prime ordeal. He is the beginning, he is the middle, he is the end. Just the color of his body. So you see him white with a slight tinge of red, which represents that he can plant the seeds of Dharma like those two seeds. And in Tantra, you use the white primordial seed from your father that's here at the navel and the red primordial seed from your mother that's at your crown. And you must combine it here for meditation. He has combined that. So a mixing of that color is pinkish. So his complexion is white with a slight tinge of pink, representing he has accomplished male and female energy, which is wisdom and compassion, compassion and wisdom. Total. Don't think that he's some eunuch or something. He's not male or female. It doesn't mean he's a eunuch or genderless. Male is not male. Female is not female in the sense of ordinary terms. It means a two polarization of energies in this world. That needs to be balanced. He has achieved that. Achieved that. Then, he wears the monk robes, which meant that he was a pure monk, which tells us that whether you are a monk or not, hold your vows. Robes represent vows. So hold your refuge vows. Hold your vows of guru devotion. Hold your vows of bodhicitta. Hold your vows of monk vows. Hold your precepts. Hold your bodhisattva vows. Hold your tantric vows. When he wears the robes, it tells you, it signifies, hold your vows so that you can become enlightened. Without holding precepts and vows, you cannot become enlightened. That's the meaning. Then his feet is crossed, which represents he has achieved the state of no more learning. Everything to be accomplished he has achieved through meditation. In a meditative pose represents by meditation he has become enlightened. He has achieved no more learning, which is enlightenment. He wears the golden pendant's hat. The golden pendant's hat is very rough and wide at the bottom and has two left arms, which are pulled back. One arm represents compassion, the other bodhicitta, the other arm represents wisdom. By wisdom and compassion, practicing the Dharma, you become refined, you become to a sharp high point that there's no higher point to that, which is enlightenment. Only highly realized lamas and hierarchically high lamas may wear that yellow pendant's hat. So that yellow pendant's hat represents realization, accomplishment, in the real sense. I mean, these days you have all types of people wearing that hat. Slipped again, never mind. I keep slipping. I should not teach these things, you know? Anyway, these days you have all kinds of people wearing those hats. So, here I go again. Anyways, it represents it's very high. And that original hat was from India. The original hats in India worn by the great Indian masters were yellow. When they were taken to Tibet, they were turned to red. Later, during Tsongkhapa's time, he changed it back to yellow. Why? Because yellow represents growth. Growth of health, wisdom, power, increase of life, and merits. When it went to Tibet, forget about growth, we had to subjugate the negative forces opposing Buddhism. So the great Nyingmabas and the great masters of the past wore red hats to symbolize the power of control, controlling negative influences. Later, when Jeremji came, Buddhism was widespread already. There was no control, there was only growth left. So Vajrayogini, the tantric deity or tantric form of Tara Vajrayogini, appeared to Tsongkhapa and said, change the hat back to yellow, representing you will grow in the world. So he changed the color back to yellow. So his hat is, if you know the meaning, is a total path to enlightenment in symbolic form. He is smiling, he is fat, he looks like a 16-year-old youth, beautiful, compassionate, sitting on a moon and a lotus. The moon represents bodhicitta, the lotus represents compassion. And he's smiling, always happy, with his two disciples near you, ready to confer upon you enlightenment. That is a symbolic meaning, in short. Then you visualize that coming from Gandhi heaven. So then you say to him, my Lord is seated before me upon a lotus throne, lotus and moon. His body is white and he smiles blissfully. Please remain many ions to serve the great merit field for the growth of my mind's faith and increase the work with his teachings. That explanation is very, very important because if you request a spiritual guide to remain for a long time, you collect the karma to always be near your gurus. So when you request your teacher to remain in existence, what are you actually requesting? You are requesting indirectly for you to always get Dharma. So, if the spiritual guides who lead sentient beings on spiritual paths were no longer to appear in the world, the people of the world have no opportunity to go for refuge or to accumulate merit, there will be no possibility for their escaping from samsara or the sufferings. From a spiritual point of view, the world would be plunged into a spiritual darkness. So to prevent this from happening, we now request the holy beings, the three Buddhas, to remain for countless aeons as emanations will lead sentient beings on a spiritual path. This practice is very powerful for accumulating merit and extremely important for future happiness of sentient beings. We strongly believe that Jetsongaba in the space before us is the essence of our spiritual teacher, and we imagine that he is smiling at us with delight like a mother for his only child. So when you make this request, you are creating the karma yourself for the Dharma to exist, to get the Dharma, to understand the Dharma, to receive the Dharma, and to be born in places or to be near places that you can get the Dharma from qualified people. So when you recite that line to Tsongkhapa, immediately, of course, you will not have a vision of Tsongkhapa and get teachings from him. But when you request Tsongkhapa in that way, you collect the merit with the Buddha. By the power of that blessing, you will get teachings from a qualified master. You will be able to understand the teachings when you get it, and when you get it, you will be able to practice. So that line is to collect the merits for getting Dharma teachings. Without the merit of collecting Dharma teachings, There's no way to get Dharma teachings. There's no way you can plan it, no way you can force it, no way you can bribe it, manipulate it, no way. The only way to get Dharma is if you create the causes. And the way to create the causes is to request and make merits for it, and to request patiently and to make merits for it. So in this line, if you don't have a direct guru or direct person to, you request to Tsongkhapa. So when you request Tsongkhapa to remain a long time for sentient beings, you are collecting the merit for the Dharma to remain long, for yourself to get the Dharma. Always meet the Dharma. The next line is praises, or actually prostrations. So it looks like praises, but we can put praises, and you can put next to it prostrations. His omniscient wisdom mind encompasses all that is existent. His voice is profound teaching, which ornaments the ear of the fortunate pupil. His body is beautiful, which evokes radiant admiration. To Lama Tsongkhapa, who merely viewing, hearing, or contemplating earns one great merit, I make prostrations. Prostration is very, very important. Very, very important, because making prostrations is a powerful way or powerful method for purifying negative karma, sickness, and obstacles, and increasing our merits. Happiness and Dharma realizations, temporarily prostrations improve our physical health, and ultimately they cause us to attain the form body of a Buddha. Generating faith in the holy beings is mental prostration, reciting praises to them is verbal prostration, and showing respect to them is physical prostration. We can make physical prostrations by respectfully prostrating our entire body on the ground, by respectfully touching our knees and palms and forehead to the ground, or by respectfully placing our palms at the level of our heart. So even this is a prostration. To make special prostrations to Tsongkhapa, we begin by contemplating the preeminent qualities of his mind, his speech, and his body. Since Je Tsongkhapa has abandoned the obstruction to omniscience, and his mind knows all phenomena with exception, he realizes all truths. Therefore, he is omniscient. I make prostrations to the mind that knows and understands all. Simply hearing Je Tsongkhapa's speech, or your guru's speech, which is inseparable from Tsongkhapa, fortunate beings can experience pure happiness, because speech is the supreme ear ornament, the best ornament for the ear, that gives rise to uncontaminated bliss. Je Tsongkhapa's body, so by praising his speech, you get the karma to free yourself of negative speech and collect Buddha speech. By praising his mind, you purify your negative karma of the mind and collect mental seeds, you get Buddha mind. By praising his body, you purify the negative karma related to your body and gain the karma to get a Buddha body. Je Tsongkhapa's body is extremely pleasing to behold because it is adorned with the major and minor indications of Buddha's form. He has the 112 super mundane marks of a fully enlightened conqueror, like Buddha Shakyamuni. Just by seeing Tsongkhapa's actual body or image, or even just hearing his image, hearing his speech, or listening to his teachings, or remembering his good qualities, we accumulate a vast collection of merit and wisdom. Remembering this, we generate deep faith in Je Tsongkhapa, and then in order to make powerful prostrations in, we imagine that from every pore, okay, forget that, that's complicated. What happens is, we prostrate from our body, from our speech and our mind when we recite that. When we recite that holy line, then we remember the qualities that he's fully omniscient because he's free from suffering. Remember his body that is free from all obstructions. He has a Buddha body with the 112 marks of Buddha. And then remember his speech, which gives nectar to all of us. What is his speech? It's the Dharma teachings. By Dharma, we can annihilate all of our sufferings. So therefore, to merely view him, hear him, or contemplate on him, earn one great merit. I make prostrations to this holy body, speech, and mind, energy. And during Buddha's time, Buddha did state in the sutra, Sudhamma Pundarika Sutra, that when I am not present, living present, if you make images of me, statues or representations of me, and make offerings to that image, it will be the same merit as making offerings to me. So when we refer to Tsongkhapa, we can refer to his image. So even viewing him, seeing him, hearing him, or having anything to do with Tsongkhapa, earn one great merit. So in Koban Monastery, the monastery of the great Lama Sobharamji, he has made a 1.5-story high statue of Tsongkhapa. When you stand next to it, your head only reaches up to his throne. Huge one. I went to see myself in that hall. Incredible benefits for the people. Incredible. Then I present to you great merit-filled tsongkhapa, beautiful offerings, water, display of flowers, fragrant incense, butter lamps, perfume, and both physical and mental offerings, vast as clouds and wide as the ocean. We imagine that all the oceans, lakes, pools, springs, and rivers in the world transform into the nectar for drinking, pure bathing water, and perfume. We think that these pure waters, together with all the flowers, incense, food, and music in the world, have the nature of exalted wisdom, and when Jerry sees it, it pleases him very much. So we should put out beautiful waters, beautiful incense, beautiful flowers, fruits, best offerings to Jerry in the best containers. I will teach about offerings in the future. So in short, now. Then, not only the offerings here, all the lakes, the mountains, the animals, the beautiful mountains, environments, and forests, all the restaurants, all the clothes, all the shopping malls, everything beautiful and fabulous, when you recite this line, you offer up to charity. So that is to destroy miserliness. The unwholesome actions of body, speech, and mind, which have accumulated over a measure of spirit, especially actions contrary to the three vows, Vinaya, Bodhisattva, Vajrayana, regret, sweet, and death of my heart, and I reveal each action. Since beginning this time, we have created many negative actions with our body, speech, and mind. As a result, when they ripen, we will take countless rebirths in hell, hungry ghosts, and animals. Moreover, many times in our previous life, we have broken our spiritual commitments and three sets of vows. The result of these transgressions will be an obstacle to having realizations. So at this time, we should confess to Jerry all the negative things we have done on that day. We do this practice daily, we should. All the negative things we have done on that day in relations to thinking, acting, speaking, in regards to the highest demerit, our guru. The next is our parents. The next is our Dharma brothers and sisters. The next is sentient, and in general, sentient beings. So in that order, any negativities we have thought, acted, or said to ourselves and others, good or bad motive, it doesn't matter. Anything to the guru that is said that's negative, there's no good or bad motive. If it displeases, if it's said about the guru and it shakes the other person's faith or stops them from dharma practice or chases them away, whether your motive is good or bad, the demerits is very, very heavy. It is the very cause for dharma institutions to actually fall. Very, very heavy. So, to our parents who have been most kind to us, to other enlightened beings, to sangha, to khasa. So some people may practice the Dharma for a long time, but due to their negativity toward their guru, to their parents, to the sangha, the karma that they collect is that they cannot transform. One of the causes. I just remember. One of the causes that they cannot transform is the negativities they have done in body, speech, and mind towards the sangha, towards their guru, or influence others to do toward their gurus or to the sangha or to their parents. That is the most severe. And so even when you explain to them about the Dharma or not to do that, they will not be able to understand. It will be like there's a wall in front of them. That wall is created by their karma. So the way you can understand quickly or not quickly completely depends on your actions and especially purification of your negative actions that you have done in the past. Anything said or done towards your parents, or your gurus, or the sangha, especially Dharma brothers and sisters, create negative karma, good or bad intention, good or bad. Even if your intention is good, it may have a bad reflection for other people. And that will create very, very heavy karma, especially among Vajra brothers and sisters. So those actions we confess, and then with that, our refuge vows, with that, our Vinaya, which is for monks, with that, our Bodhisattva vows, with that, our Vajrayana vows. So any actions that we have created so negatively with our body, speech, and mind out of overwhelming overwhelming lack of wisdom, overwhelming ignorance, overwhelming bad karma, overwhelming pride, overwhelming ego, overwhelming delusions and ignorance, you confess at this time, tsongkhapa. In fact, when we get to that line, we should be very contemplative, we should be very regretful of the negative actions we have created, and we should really regret deeply and promise tsongkhapa that we will lessen it and not do them again. When we do that well, we confess to tsongkhapa, it's very powerful. And if we can visualize tsongkhapa and our guru is inseparable, it becomes even more powerful. We totally rejoice in your magnificent achievements, my Lord, who have received numerous teachings and performed the practice of utmost diligence, who abandoned the 8 worldly objectives and made the most meaningful use of 18 opportune conditions during these degenerate times. The 8 worldly objectives and 18 opportunity is type on the back of this sheet for your own reference, but no, so you don't have to scan other Dharma books to see What are they talking about? So this one is specifically for rejoicing, which counters jealousy. In his autobiography, Jensen Gompa says that first he studied the Dharma extensively, then he realized that all Buddha's teachings are personal advice, and finally he gained deep realizations of Dharma through practicing day and night. He then dedicated all his activities to the flourishing and pure Buddha Dharma. In short, in this degenerate age, Jensen Gompa showed the best example for Dharma practitioners to follow. He taught what pure Buddha Dharma is, how to study and practice Dharma, and accomplish complete realization. Contemplating on his great points and what he has done for you, this Kali Yuga negative period, we rejoice from our heart. By rejoicing, we collect a lot of merit. By rejoicing in other people's good deeds, Tsongkhapa's good deeds, the Buddha's good deeds, our Guru's good deeds, our Guru's disciples, our Vajra brothers and sisters, good deeds, when we contemplate over and over and over again, it counters jealousy. So this verse, if we do it correctly, creates the karma to collect for destroying jealousy and purifying the karma, collect it from jealousy. And by reciting this verse and doing this verse correctly, and contemplating correctly, and acting upon this, we collect it. We stop the doors from taking rebirth into God realms where we have to suffer from jealousy very strongly and combat with other gods. All you holy gurus unerring in conduct, may you precipitate a rain of realizations of bodhicitta and shunyata from the clouds of all-knowing compassion, fill the Dharma consign, provide the field of precisely what is needed. Again, here, this is specifically for us to request for the Dharma. Without requesting for the Dharma cannot be taught. When Buddha Shakyamuni first manifested, Brahma and Indra came down from the heaven of the 33 and requested Buddha to turn the wheel of Dharma. Because of their request, there are many teachings. Although there are many emanations of Jetsong Gama in the world, if they do not teach Jetsong Gama's Dharma, the people of this world will have no chance to hear this special Dharma. Put it into practice and gain pure realizations. Therefore, by reciting the verse from the sadhana, we make a special request to turn the wheel of the Dharma. Buddha Shakyamuni demonstrated the manner of attaining great liberation and full enlightenment at Bodh Gaya, but he had not subsequently taught the Dharma that he experienced. The people of this world would have not a chance to gain enlightenment. If Buddha became enlightened, never taught, that's it. He's gone, and we're still here. So this verse is especially to create the karma to get the Dharma. Very, very important. Very, very important. Turning the wheel of Dharma. The next one is requesting long life. By reciting this, by reciting this, until samsara ends, you are indirectly getting the karma to destroy your causes for getting short life. The reason for that is that you don't waste your precious human body, that you can get enlightenment. Also, you create the karma for your gurus and the holy masters to get enlightenment. So these requests are directed to who? To Jetsong Gompa. The next line after that is dedication. After any good Dharma, after any excellent Dharma practice, meditation, prayer, or recitation, one should dedicate the merits. And the merits here are dedicated. May this merit accumulated by myself and others beneficially serve all sentient beings in the Buddha Dharma, and especially may the central teachings of the unerring Master Tsongkhapa become clear and enduring. So this phrase means where there is no Dharma, let there be Dharma. Where there is Dharma, let it grow. Where there is a perversion or misunderstanding of Dharma, may the Dharma become clear. So what you are doing is you are dedicating for the merits, your merits for the Buddha Dharma to stay and to grow. Without merits, Buddha Dharma cannot remain. So the more we dedicate, the more we recite this verse and have faith in Tsongkhapa and requesting for this to happen, by requesting a Buddha with these words, the object is correct, the motive is correct, the vehicle and the mode is correct, therefore the result will be the Dharma remains. Then the next one is mandala offerings. In short, you recite this ground anointed with perfume strewn with flowers adorned with Mount Meru, four continents, sun and moon are offered in visualization as a field of Buddhas. So when you do the mandala, you do the mandala mudra if you can. If you cannot, you can hold your hand. So the mandala mudra is Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon, and the subcontinents. So we belong to this continent here. All right, continent not as the seven continents, Australia, Asia, not that type of continent. Continents as in samsara. So this is the four continents, and Mount Meru is the center of the universe. If we can, then we have our mala, and we focus so our hands is not empty. Best if we stop and do the actual mandala offering at this point, the long one. I'll teach you that next time. So, this mandala offering, you think and you recite these verses. And when you recite the verses of the mandala, don't think you're just offering your little fingers with the ligaments and blood and nerves. What you're offering is a symbol of the world, the universe, the sun and the moon, the mountains, the planets, everything wonderful and excellent that we have in this world, we offer to Tsongkhapa in order to collect merits. And then when you finish it, you recite the mantra, look here please, Idama Guru, Ratna Mandalaka, Niraya Dayami. So by the time you finish the mantra, your hands are folded. Which means, please accept this mandala, Idam, all the Idams, all the Gurus, Idam Guru, Ratna. Ratna is the three jewels, mandala, I offer this mandala of the world to you. Alright? Please, it's very easy, we can learn from our Dharma brothers and sisters, alright? Then the next one is the actual beautiful meditation and practice of Mixema. This one, you know the meaning is on the right, you should recite it in Tibetan. Very, very important. Because why in Tibetan? Because the holy words is mantra. Mantra has sound. Sound has power. So what happens when man and mantra has power, sound has power? Like in America, there's a very famous black singer called Ella Fitzgerald. Ella Fitzgerald was very well known for having a beautiful and very powerful voice that when she sang and hit a certain note, she could actually shatter crystal glass. So when she recites, when she hits a certain note, she shatters and cracks crystal glass. Sound has that kind of power. So imagine if we direct the sound correctly. So mantra is on the same basis. But now you're not just cracking glass, you're cracking and shattering your hate, your ignorance, your desire, your negative emotion. Sound is a physical manifestation of the Buddha's energies, compassion and wisdom in sound. So the mantra is the sound emanation of the Buddha's energy. So when you recite the sound, it is the complete essence of all the Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, deities, in this case, Jerumji. When you recite it over and over, the sound has definitely an effect on your mental and nervous system physically. And then it will help you to develop concentration and wisdom. And the sound will move the winds or the chi in your body, in this case especially, to develop wisdom. So scientifically, it's definitely proven that it's beneficial, mantra. And spiritually, no doubt. Physically, when we recite mantra, even when we play Jeremy's beautiful music, we already feel calm. So when we recite this mantra, it should be recited in Tibetan, which originally issued for. Jeremy composed this mantra to offer to his guru, Jessen Rendawa. He said to his guru, you are Manjushri, you are Kasa Avalokiteshvara, you are this, you are that. He said that verse he composed. Jessen Rendawa, his own guru, said, no, I am not qualified. I changed the verse back to you. Instead of saying, Losam Chakri Shabla Sawan. Instead of saying Rendawa Shabla Sawan, Rendawa changed it to Losam Chakri Shabla Sawan. So his own guru, who was enlightened, gave that mantra back to Jeremji and said that disciples of Jeremji should recite that because he is the nature of these three bodhisattvas. So because the holy guru of Jeremji recited it first, Jesu Rendawa, we should repeat the exact words and sounds. Since mantra depends on those sound formulation, we should recite it the way it was exactly formed. Therefore, if you recite this one in Tibetan, it will be more beneficial. Otherwise, the other verses you can recite in English or Tibetan, whatever you like, or translate into Chinese. And if we can translate it into Chinese, if someone can do that, that would be wonderful. Then the next one, so when you recite that, the visualization that you should do is, if you have a statue of posterity in front of you, if not, in front of you, like visualize from Maitreya heaven, Maitreya Buddha, from Maitreya's heart comes a white cloud. From that sits Jeremji and his two disciples, and you are reciting all of this to them. You are praising them, you are confessing to them, you are asking them to turn the wheel of Dharma, you are asking for long life from them. All from them. Then when you offer the mandala, you are offering to them. Then when you recite the mantra, from this visualization you have, I'll make it very simple for you this time. You visualize from Jeremji's head, Manjushri, here, from Jeremji here, Manjushri, yellow-orange lights come down to you. You visualize from his throat, white lights come from Avalokiteshvara. You visualize from his heart, blue lights come from Vajrapani. So you're getting the blessings of the body, speech and mind, wisdom, compassion, power, and purification of negative activity, negative speech, negative thought, simultaneously, white, because of yellow, red, and blue colors, coming down to you, focusing into one light, and simultaneously lights from the two disciples come. So these three lights and the two disciples' lights, five lights combined into one, like that tripod three legs going up to one stem. And then that one light combines and hits you in the heart very strongly. Very strong. And when that light hits you, it fills you with millions, and within the light, everything that Avalokiteshvara carries and holds. He holds a mala, a lotus, and a wish-fulfilling jewel. Millions and millions of those mini malas and lotuses and jewels are in the light entering you. Millions and millions of Avalokiteshvaras dissolve into you. Millions and millions and millions of Om Mani Padme Homs dissolve into you. Then from Manjushri, from the crown, millions of Manjushri's bodies, millions of Manjushri's swords, and millions of Manjushri Omarabhasanathis dissolve into you in that light. Then from Vajrapani, millions of Vajrapani's scepters, Vajras, his body, and his mantra, Om Vajrapani Pung, dissolves into you, millions. Why? Visualizing that these three Buddhas dissolving into you is purifying the negativities of your body, and you get their blessing of their body, long life, health, and stability. Visualizing their mantras, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Manavasanadi Hum, Om Benzamani Hum, coming forth while you recite Mixama, is purifying your speech and all the negative karma you collected with your speech, and getting Buddha's speech. And then all the implements of their hands, swords, lotuses, vajras, malas, wish-fulfilling jewels coming down and dissolving into your heart is their mind blessing. The qualities of their mind represented by the implements, because mind has no form. So you should study up Vajrapani, you should study up from these three bodhisattvas dissolving into you. So their body, speech, and mind dissolve into you completely. Completely. So that's a slightly extended meditation. If you want to make it even simpler than that, simpler, then you can simply visualize from the three places from Jeremji and the two places from the heart of the two disciples, the five lights combined into white lights, milky, and all the qualities of Jeremji's body, speech, and mind dissolve into you, purify your body, and you are overwhelmed by this blessing of the Sankhya mantra. Focus on this. If you focus, and you don't listen to sounds, you don't look around, you don't get distracted, you focus very well, you can develop insight meditation, which the Theravadins do by breath. The northern Buddhists do by visualization on the Buddha. The point here is to concentrate. So you concentrate on breath, you concentrate on Jeremji, there's no difference. With all due respect, Jeremji's concentration will be better because breath has no power, Jeremji is a Buddha. So the point is concentration. So the Theravadins use breath. The northern Buddhists use a Buddha image. The point is concentration. When you develop concentration, you can develop the powers of clairvoyance, knowing other people's minds, knowing your previous lives, remembering your previous lives, hearing sounds that people cannot hear, distant sounds. You can see things that people cannot see. You can see non-human beings. You will have clairvoyant powers. By this meditation on Jeremji, focusing concentration correctly, you can develop clairvoyances. The five different types of clairvoyance. Clairvoyance of the eye, clairvoyance of the ear, clairvoyance three of the mind. You'll be able to immediately know other people's minds, and when you know how to help them. You'll be able to see things that they cannot see. You'll be able to hear things that they will not be able to hear. Distant and close. You develop five types of clairvoyances. On that meditation, on Jeremji, those lights, extended or shortened. So while you're reciting the mantra, you should not be reciting mantra thinking about work, jobs, food, here. You can meditate. The three bodhisattvas, forehead, Manjushri, Avalokiteshvara, Vajrapani. From then, millions of Vajrapanis, millions of Manjushris coming forth and dissolving into you, and their implements and their mantras, or simply the lights dissolving into you, which is their essence. The more complicated you can get, the faster the achievements, of course. It'll be better. So either way, and then toward the end of your mantra recitation, you recite that and visualize that simultaneously. So in the beginning, of course, hard, it gets better. Then as the lights and the Buddhas fill your body, all your hatred, ignorance, desire, self-grasping, self-centeredness is pushed out from the bottom of your anus, goes down seven levels into the ground, and then the Lord of Death, Yama, who holds the samsaric wheel, opens his mouth and accepts all that negativity. And then he's very happy, he goes to sleep. And then the ground closes up under you.
Oh, yeah.
And two mantras seal the ground under you. You should visualize and you sit on top, focusing on your energy. This meditation will create long life. Very powerful long life. So after Jyoti, finish the mantra, all the negativities in the form of black lights, putrid, feces, urine, reptiles such as snakes, all leave your anus, and those are not real animals or real putrid mud, but actually your negative karma, your body, speech, and mind, and your suffering. If you have disease, you can focus the lights going in and focusing on that part of the disease well, and the disease manifesting as snakes, animals, scorpions, and leaving your body. And that will help you to recover quickly. Then that leaves your anus, goes down into the ground, and the Lord of Death, you just visualize a black figure accepting all of that, and the ground closes after that and seal. That will extend your life. Then when you finish that mantra, when you go down, after that mantra, you can recite any other mantras, not necessary, because all three are included. After that, Jerem Chi's in front of you, you recite the first line, dear worthy Guru, please ascend the lotus seat atop the head of myself and other beings, and in your great compassion, kindness, please remain with us, bestow us the blessings of your body, speech, and mind. What you do there is very important. You visualize that the two disciples, their seats dissolve into them, they dissolve into Jeremji, Jeremji's seats dissolve into Jeremji. Only Jeremji's there, and he dissolves to the size of your thumb. And he's still on the cloud. The cloud reduces to the size enough to accompany his body. And then when you reset the second line, dear worthy Guru, please ascend the lotus seat atop the head of myself and other beings, and in great compassion, remain with us, bestow the blessings of your body. I'm sorry, precious noble Guru, please occupy the lotus seat within our hearts, and in your great hands, remain with us, please grant us your blessings for our temporal success and for the supreme attainment. When you recite that, you visualize with the cloud together as his seat, Jyoti comes forth, what you have visualized, and then the cloud stretches, of course, because it's wisdom. And Jeremji turns around and faces the way you face and sits on the top of your head on that cloud. Now you have a small Jeremji sitting, and the cloud, the string, is connected to Jeremji, and it is attached straight to Shida Heaven, to the heart of Maitreya Buddha. Concentrate on that very, very strongly during that meditation. It's very powerful. Then you recite the last line, beloved no Guru Guru, please occupy the lotus seat within our hearts and in your great compassion, remain with us, please stay on with us until we achieve great enlightenment. You visualize a four-petal lotus in your heart. It could be six, eight, four, easier. Four-petal lotus in your heart that represents your mind. Don't visualize the lotus as hard and stiff or solid. You should think of it as the nature of a rainbow or light. If you think of it as hard and stiff, the winds in your body will gather there. You will feel a choking sensation. You will never choke, but you will feel somewhat of a choking sensation. Therefore, you visualize the lotus as open, and very clean and clear, like a rainbow. And then when you recite the last line, and that's your mind. That is your subtle mind in the form of a lotus. Don't forget that. Then you recite the last line, beloved Noble Rukuru, please occupy the lotus seat within our hearts, and in your great kindness remain with us. Please stay up until we achieve the goal of enlightenment. When you recite that last line, very crucial, you visualize your central nervous system here to the top of your head, a straight pipe like a straw going down. And then, and in that pipe is the mini lotus. The pipe on the outside is red, blue, on the inside is red. The pipe is